here on page Kufayin Beis, where it says on the left hand side on the bottom of the Inyan, Shalkinah Yishgam Kain. That's where we're up to. We were discussing most of the time the Inyan of Tikkun HaMidos Bechlal, and last week we began to discuss more specifically the Midah of Kinah. Again, as I've explained each summer, the purpose of learning these kuntresim is not that we should have a better foundation in machshava or understanding the concepts, understanding on more of a philosophical level what kinah is and why there's kinah. The purpose of the kuntresim is to be mechazik ourselves, and to work on ourselves, developing an understanding as much as developing a feeling for something. Naturally, there's a great deal that one can learn in all the Musa Svarim, the Chassidus Svarim, and the Sinyin. So, we're continuing where it says, Vayinyin Shelkinah, the bottom of page Kuf on Ayin Beis, Vayinyin Shelkinah Yesh Gamkein, Kshenid Milamishu as Mahaltmir Fenetzveitin. One of the most painful things in the world, we began to talk about this last week, one of the most painful things in the world is when it dawns upon you that others hold more from somebody else than they hold from you. This is what we were talking about last week, especially if it's something that you've worked very hard to be good at and you really care deeply about. And you see that despite all your efforts, the ones you want most to impress, and impress we're going to learn in a minute, doesn't mean because of COVID. The one you want most to please, when that individual seems more excited about the tzveitin, somebody else's malacha, somebody else's efforts, you feel that you mamish want to die. Chalil. You feel that you can't go on living. And one should not think that I must be the biggest egomaniac that ever lived. Why am I eating my heart out about this? Why am I so unbelievably distraught that the other person is held in higher regard than myself? So what he's explaining here is that doesn't mean necessarily that you're a person that seeks COVID. You're not somebody that wants to be called by the chairman of the dinner committee and to be chosen, to be honored. Bechlal, you're not looking to be in the limelight. It has nothing to do with that. It's not a taiva for COVID. So then what is it? It's Rak Harbe Yoyser Amayik Mizeh. It's much deeper than this. L'moshel, we began talking about this last week. L'moshel, Bocher Margish Amagid Shir Halt Mifin Achava As Yener Is Mir Matzliach. In other words, this Bocher feels, as I mentioned at the end last week, this particular Bocher feels that the Magid Shir, his Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva, holds more from another Bocher. And that the other boy, is more matzliach. Va'av shu'um, next page, Kufayin Gimel. Va'av shu'um mishtadl kol kach hazak. And this bocher is trying so hard. Mikol mokom ha'magid shir halt mefun yanet. And despite the fact that he's trying so hard, and it seems to him that he was working much harder than the other boy, yet the Magid Shir, the Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva, holds more from the other boy. Ze ko'ev amok amok. This causes very deep pain in the Bocher. V'zelo barak mishum shu reitz a kovet me Magid Shir. And it's not just because he wants to have kovet from the Magid Shir, from the Rebbe. Rak she ze mo'imek niflos ha-baris baruch. So where does this come from? So the tzaddik explains that this comes from a wondrous, amazing thing that Hashem has created in the world. That when somebody is trying very hard to succeed at something, to do something in a good way. V'nidme lo yisha anoshim eichazim shashen hitzliach yoser. And it seems to you that others hold that according to others the second person was more matzliach. Zekoev ma'od, it hurts very much. Now why is this such a wondrous thing? Why is this such an amazing thing that the Baruch Shalom made us in such a way? So here's a long passage in Yiddish, so let's go down, we can read it in the Hebrew. Mem. Sofesh akoysev sifrei Torah HaKadosha. You have a person, you have a cipher, a scribe, and with all of his heart and soul, he wants to write the most beautiful Sefer Torah imaginable. That's what's wondrous, that Hashem has infused within us such a tremendous desire to do something in the best way we can, to be matzliach. So you have a cipher who puts his entire neshama into writing a Sefer Torah. Mashki is called a neshama b'zeh. And it's a tremendous amount of work. And every single second, his neshama is in that work. And he hears that the other cipher, you know, his competition, again, he wouldn't feel that way if they were talking about Ezra HaCipher, that Ezra HaCipher was a better cipher, or about some world-famous, unbelievable cipher. But he hears people talking about the guy that has the shop down the block. The guy that he grew up with in Cheder and Yeshiva, and they were both writing together. And he hears that the Olam is more machshiv, the second cipher. Azai Zekoev causes tremendous pain. V'chein magid shir shemizkein l'shir im kol ha-kaychus. You have a magid shir. And with all of his kaychus, he's preparing a beautiful shir. And in the end, he's putting his kishkis into preparing the shir, and there are 100 boys by the other magid shir, and by him 5 or 6, you know, trickle in, and it's only because like the menahel is forcing them to go, and he doesn't understand. Not only that, but it seems to him that he puts in much more love and much more kaychus into preparing the shir than the other one who's more matzliach. And also he thinks that he really does feel that he does a better job, that his shir is a better shir. That causes pain to the depths of the soul. Back in the text, after the mem, all the way, like 10 lines down. And it's like that with everything in life. In other words, even though intellectually I understand that there are people who are as qualified or more qualified, yet there is this thing inside of me, and it comes from an amazing place. It comes from godliness that is driving me to excel and to pour my kreches into what I'm doing. And then I'm shocked when I discovered that there's someone who I thought was my peer, or might even be inferior to me, and yet it seems that he's more appreciated than I am. And as we learned last week, this is this is much more when it's someone who you're close to. As we learned, v'ahavta reacha kamocha, that when it's someone who is reacha kamocha, someone who you are connected to, someone who you thought was a peer, someone who you feel is comparable to you. So then the kin is unbelievable. And this is particularly true in a case where a person is working for somebody. You're trying to do something, to accomplish something, either to help an individual, or a tzibur, or a community, b'tara, with learning, to give of a Torah, b'chesed, b'chadoyme, b'shemeh me'hayochad, me'anoshim, me'hatzibur, afilu shemeh rakim ishechad, sha'eichzim b'mishu acher. So in the Hebrew, me'malef, oise yoise, pol yoise, oise yoise, tevakal, makal yoise, ma'asheini, even though you're trying so hard to help in this inyan, to help the community, or help the individual, It's gotten back to you that there's somebody else that people appreciate more than you and more than the work that you've been doing. Ubefrat, in the brackets, Ubefrat, in Nidmalei, Shehu Yadea Bebiru, Shahu, Eina Mashkiyas Atzma Kolkach, and Emaisas Atzma Lezak Kolkach Kamo. And you know the truth is that you're more devoted. You're more devoted to the community. You're more devoted to helping that individual than the other person. And yet that person is the one who seems to be getting more credit and more appreciated. As a kinem is erbes beres ba'if in mavhil. Then jealousy is aroused and is burning in a horrible way. The last line. Vizeloi ba klalu klal machmes shereitza kovid. And again, this is not because you're looking for kovid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created us in such a way, this is our nature. When you do a toiva for someone, even the smallest little favor, for a Jew, especially if it's something really, really terrific that you've done for someone, and how much more so if you're constantly helping somebody or a community. Hashem has created us in such a way that writes him Shahasheni Yaker HaTayv. You just want to be recognized and appreciated. You don't want to have your name up in lights, and you don't need to speak at the dinner. And you know, I want to thank this one and this one and that one. You don't want any of that. You don't need to see your name in a book. You just want to be appreciated. To be appreciated for what you do. Certainly in a marriage, and I've spoken about this many times, Baravim, certainly in a marriage, it's not that the wife is seeking COVID, but she's looking for COVID. She doesn't want COVID, she's running away from COVID. But how terrible it is to be in a marriage where a woman feels that she's completely unappreciated. She worked all day to prepare a delicious meal. This is obviously at an early point in the marriage. She was working all day to prepare a delicious meal, and the husband comes home and eats the meal and just not disposed. But doesn't say maybe if she's lucky she gets a shkoyach. and then what happens a few days later? They're at her sister-in-law, his sister, and he has a rugula or something. He says, "Oh, is this gevaldik? This like mommy makes," and the wife's heart is sinking mamish into the floor. And again, she didn't need to have COVID. It wasn't any of COVID, but the Baruch Shalom made us in such a way that we want to be appreciated. It's a very, very healthy, important and natural instinct that we have to want to be appreciated. And when someone feels unappreciated, they push it. They lose their cheshek. They lose their cheshek. And then if someone else is appreciated instead of them, and they feel that they work harder and they care more and they love this person more and they're more devoted, then the kin is a kin that begins to eat the person's eat away at the person, the jealousy. So that's why it's not even COVID. Hashem made us in such a way. I feel main writes some shum toive b'chazar. You know what? It's not that you even want the person to do anything for you in return. You don't have to do anything for me. Now we know, ideally, this is what makes it so uncomfortable, because we even feel funny saying anything, because we all know that ideally I'm supposed to want to do this simply because it's the Ratzon of Hashem is Baruch that we be good people and do the right thing. So what's wrong with me that I expect a Yashakayach, I expect at least a gesture, at least some sort of acknowledgement, some word of appreciation? And we know that inside of us, ideally, we're supposed to do everything just for Ratzon Hashem, just because it's the right thing. V'loy l'kabel chazar ha'tayv, it's not because I'm looking for any tayv in return. Mikomokom, the nature of a person is right. So mikol ha'pachas, shasheni yeda v'yarkim, ashini ma'isa atzmi b'shvila. It's a gevaldige thing to do something in a very hidden and secretive way, but there's this part inside that's always hoping that they'll find out. Maybe they'll find out. Not through me, because I'm not supposed to say, and I don't officially want anybody to know about this. But maybe somebody will somehow find out, will look through the window and see me doing this amazing mitzvah, you know, in the middle of the night, helping somebody out. And it's not for cover. You want to be appreciated that you gave yourself over to the other person, because especially when you love someone, you want to feel appreciated. It's important. Obviously, it's true that we have to work on this. Bechlal, we should try not to worry about what other people think, whether other people know about the taivus that I'm doing. This whole world is havel havolam, and this one knows, that one knows. The ikar, of course, is that Hakadosh Baruch should have nachas, and that he should know about this. Without working very, very hard. This is the teva of a person. Hashem made us this way. And we needn't feel guilty or bad about that. It's the teva, and it's a very big madrega not to need that. Here you worked so hard for something in the shul or for the family. And not only do they not appreciate what you've done, but you hear how much they appreciate what somebody else has done. And you know that, and how much more so when you know that the other person has not poured in as much love and time and so on. And they're more machshiv what the other one is doing. That mamish goes into the very depths of who you are. And we know it loznish menucha. It doesn't allow you any menucha. You can't have any menucha. Knowing this, it completely, completely undermines your entire menucha. He adds on in Membeis is a little bit. If you look, there's a little bit added in the note down below. Vahargoshos ha'elu. These feelings. Kishein mevatlam ha'isam behirus hakaranal. If you're not on that level where you're able to completely, completely ignore what anybody thinks about what you've done, or whether anybody acknowledges or appreciates what you've done, which is a very, very astounding madrega to be on. Shayikuhu lasas v'tzayin Hashem afilo im af adam le'achshav is a klal b'chol zay shayikuhu she'etzal Hashem esbarach zechoshav v'yokav v'chavim ma'ayid. Obviously, the highest madrega is to know that what we're doing is precious and is beloved in the eyes of Hashem esbarach. V'adrabe. The highest madrega is kfimasha anoshim ena machshivim zayis. The tzaddikim, the great tzaddikim, were only longing to be able to be so hidden and so concealed that people dafka were not machshiv them at all, or were not machshiv what they were doing at all. We have many stories from the Rebbe Reb Zushi like that. But the Rebbe Reb Zushi, who b'chlal was an unbelievable by yisurim, how much he suffered in life, and his whole avodah was that nobody should find out, nobody should be machshiv of him. The stories that we know about the Chafetz Chaim, it's because somehow somebody saw, somebody knew. That's only a tipah shebayam, a drop in the ocean. We don't even know what we don't know. How much we don't know about the Chafetz Chaim. How much we don't know about the true tzaddikim, about their avodah that was so hidden, that was so amazing, and how much they tried not to be known, not to be seen, to be invisible. Because they wanted it to be purely l'shem shamayim. They wanted that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu should know. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have nachas ruach. You know, there's a famous lichas story. I was just talking to one of my students today who was going through a difficult and wonderful time. A student of mine had twins recently. And they have other little ones. And he left a message, I guess, sometime last night. I heard it this morning, and the message was, help! So, I called him up this morning, and he was telling me, Rebbe, I feel so terrible. I know this is a big bracha, but it's Elul. I haven't been to Minyan. I just can't get to Minyan in the morning. It's already been quite a while since the twins were born. They can't afford a nurse, any kind of regular help. There are some wonderful girls that come to volunteer to help, but they really don't have. And the help is not during those hours that they would be most desperately needed. And the wife has to push it, you know, to, apparently they're waking up the same time. And this one wants to eat, the other one wants to eat, and the bottom, and then the other kid wakes up because they hear noise. I mean, it's mamish hard parasha. And he hasn't been able to get to shul. And he feels terrible. What kind of an Elul, what kind of a Yontiv is it going to be? Not only that, but he's expected to daven for the Omer of Rosh Hashanah. He davens beautifully, davens for the Omer where he is. And he says, well, how can I go daven for the Omer? I didn't daven Elul, I don't even daven in the Minyan. So we were talking about the schedule a little bit, and how does it work, and what time, different Minyanim and so on, but you know, it's dafka those hours between 5:30 and 9:30 till the older ones are dressed and are out to camp, and he's got to help with all these things. It's a hard matzav. So I told him the maaseh from Rav Moshe Leib Sasser, that I'm sure that almost all of you, if every one of you probably knows, I'm just saying it to mechazek ourselves. And what he's talking about here in this note, that there was a maaseh from the Rebbe of Moshe Leib Sasser that was made famous by a modern Yiddish Hebrew writer who changed some of the facts but got the basic story right, but it's a famous maaseh. There was a misnagid who was making fun of the chassidim because it was slichas in those days. It's before they had slichas at 15 minutes before, you know, davening in the morning. It's when people got up, our fathers and grandfathers got up for slichas at 4:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. So in those days, so there was a misnagid who was making fun because he came to the chassidim to daven slichas, and the rebbe was never there. The rebbe Moshe Leib Sasser wasn't there for slichas. So the misnagid asked the chassidim, "What's the matter? Your rebbe doesn't have to say slichas." So the chassidim said, "Ah, rebbe is a heiliger mensch. He's very holy. He goes to do very, very great things." And the misnagid was laughing. He says, "What does he do instead of slichas?" So the chassidim said, "You know, they're very simple." The chassidim said, "The rebbe goes to Himmel at night, and he goes to heaven, and he davens for Jews." So this misnagid, I couldn't get over it. The silliness, the naivete. So the Misnagid said, "Yeah, I'm going to tell you exactly what your Rebbe does because I'm going to find out myself." Of course, believing that the Rebbe's in bed. So the Misnagid went, you know this Maisa? It's a famous Maisa. So the Misnagid went, whatever it was, at 3:30 in the morning, he went to stand outside the house. The Rebbe was a long time ago, had already passed away, and he was looking through the window. And sure enough, at around 3:45, it was pitch dark outside. The Rebbe Moshe Leib Sasser gets up, and he puts on boots and a short jacket and a cap like a peasant. And this misnagid is getting excited. Not only doesn't he sleep, who knows what he's doing? Terrible things. And the Rebbe takes an axe, and the misnagid was following into the woods, and the Rebbe was chopping down a tree. He chopped up some wood, and he went all the way deep in the forest where the poorest people lived over there. There was a horrible shack, and there was an almana, a widow lived in a freezing, freezing cold morning. And the misnagid's watching her. Rebbe Moshe Leib Sasser goes over there, and the Rebbe Moshe Leib goes and says, "Could you use some, you need some wood for the fire?" She doesn't have any money. She said, "I'm freezing, but I don't have any money. I can't pay you." So he says, "You'll pay me, but not right now. Don't worry, after the season, you'll pay me." Of course, he never would come to get the money. And that, so Rebbe Moshe Leib Sasser goes over to the fireplace, and he puts the wood in, and he starts to light up a fire. And the misnagid's watching. The while he's lighting up the fire for the wood, the Rebbe Moshe Leib Sasser starts to cry, and he says, "Lucha Hashem et stalker v'lo nebayshis upon him." He starts to say slichas. And that's how he was saying the whole slichas. Then he went to Yisayim, he went to another house, and he was continuing the whole way while he was walking. He was saying slichas, and while he was schlepping and cutting, he's saying slichas, the whole slichas by heart. So the misnagid comes to the chassidim after slichas. The chassidim went over to him and said, "No, isn't it true? Isn't it true that our Rebbe, Rav Moshe Leib, goes up to Himmel every night? You saw him go up to Himmel, to heaven?" So the Misnagid said, no, your Rebbe goes much, much higher than heaven. Much higher than heaven." So I told my Talmud this morning, I said, "Listen, there are Jews who are zeichet to go to Minyan, to daven in Minyan and Elul, and there are Jews who are able to go much higher than the Minyan. And if that's your avoda now, that's your avoda. The ikur is, they're wondering, how come you're not in shul? What kind of a Jew are you? You don't come to shul. Especially the Svardim, they say slichas the whole month, right? So where is he? How come you're not here?" So don't worry what anybody thinks, and don't even tell them. First of all, they know that you just had twins. But don't even say anything. The hikur is that the Baruch Shalom knows that you're doing something that's so great, that every single second you're mekayem the mitzvah, Not that minyan's not important, but right now it's not possible, and you have to help. It's rachmanis. Your wife can't manage it otherwise. It's not shy. So, really, this is the highest madrega that a Jew should be able to only care that the Rebbeinu Shem should have nachas, and that you should do the Ratzon Hashem, and that it doesn't make any difference at all in the world what anybody else says, or what anybody else thinks, or anybody else knows. But really, it's very hard to be on such a madrega. And therefore, when we want a little bit of appreciation, not to be written up, but just some appreciation from the person that we cared for so much that we did that, and if we don't receive the appreciation, we become very tzibroch and become very broken by that. We become very broken by that. This is especially true of women. There's a different inyan with men, which I've spoken about in the past, but a woman more than anything craves for appreciation. Not for kavod. A man's inyan is kavod. A man feels very bad if he doesn't get kavod. He has to have kavod at work, at home, this kavod. But as far as a woman is concerned, it's not kavod. It's just to feel that she's appreciated and that she's loved. And when there's no appreciation, then that's what he's saying. Then it's very hard to have any menucha if somebody else is appreciated instead of you. Or even in addition to you. Back on top after the mem beis. Ukvar is karanu bez Hashem esbaruch she'ein shemes hasoga b'karach. We already spoke about this, that we don't have any understanding of Karach's greatness. What a great person Karach, what a great tzaddik he was. Aval rotzen Hashem esbaruch she'nilvun mizeh. But Hashem did want us to learn from the parish of Karach. Shalakal yochid yeish and yisayin hezeh, because each and every one of us is tested in this way. Kshelitzofen is mana lenasi, that Elitzofen was chosen to be the prince of that family of Levian. Do you think Karach was such a person that he cared about having the title of being the Nasi? Karach was so beyond all of these things. It was all Hevel Havolim, all positions of honor and all recognition and having a picture in the paper, being honored at the dinner. This was all totally beneath a person like Karach, completely beyond, had nothing to do with Karach. So what was it that was hurting Karach? And Chazal have revealed to us that this was a kinna, that there was envy of Elitzav. So what was it that was hurting Karach so much? What was hurting him so much was that Ehar v'tshayin, 136 yar b'kdush of Tahara, that for 130 years he's pouring his heart out. He's serving the Baruch Hu. We don't even know what that means for a Jew like Karach. 130 years. Avaydis Hashem on the highest level beyond anything we can imagine. Beyond any Chavetz Chaim, beyond Chassam Soifi, beyond Vilna Gaon, beyond the Baal Shem Tov, beyond the Arizal. We're talking about Karach. For 130 years, he's pouring everything into that Avayda. In holiness and in purity. Vispashas Hagashmi is being separated from all that's physical. And Moshe Rabbeinu Haltas Elitzofen is Metzu gekommen. And in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu held that it's coming to Elitzofen, the Nesias. Not because of the honor, but 130 years I gave my entire neshama to Klal Yisrael. My entire neshama was given for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Elisophon, and Elisophon gets the Nesias. And it's not that Karach wanted the honor of the Nesias, but he just wanted a wink, a nod. He wanted the appreciation. He wanted it to be known that his avodah made a difference. That being in the kitchen all day long makes a difference. That trying to look attractive and trying to be a good mother, trying to juggle all those things, that it's appreciated. That it's not I'm not a shivcha knanis. I'm not an eved ivri. That it means something. That there's appreciation for what I'm doing. How much it means, you know, that parents can have so many tainus with the children. And if a child would just say a kind word, if a child would acknowledge all that the mother does, that the father does, even a word or two, it doesn't have to be to write a whole Megillah, and it doesn't have to be in. And we always felt that, you know, when it would come to a birthday, and my father, Bechlal, when it comes to birthdays, the whole thing, he thinks it's so silly, and he makes fun of it in America, what they made with birthdays. But every year, my sister and I would come to, would give him something. And my father would say, "Is narishkeit a goyish zach?" And whoever heard such a thing, and he had to be so inside of him that there was something that was moved, and it had nothing to do with the present, because I never in my life saw him use any of the things we ever got. I don't know, you know, it wasn't whatever it was, unless it was a sefer. And we finally caught on, you know, as we got older, that was something that would be used and appreciated. But other than that, whether it was a necktie, an umbrella, whatever, you know, something, it was never was used. But the ikkar was that for a moment it means that the child is just saying, you know, I remember you. And that's a chashuva thing. And we live for that. We live for that. So, Kairach is an unbelievable Baal Madrega, but Zechad in Yonim Hamukim Shon Neskanab in Nisiyusa Shalalitzav, and Chazal saying Neskanab in Nisiyusa, that he was jealous of the Nisiyus. We shouldn't think, God forbid, of Kairach, we shouldn't think of it like this Indian of covet or something, a taiva. It wasn't that. Vizesh Shaykh Lakalechad, Chazal want us to learn from this, because it's Shaykh Lakalechad. Now, of course, the question is: so, now how do we overcome this? How do we overcome these feelings that don't give us menuch? Especially if it's so natural for us to feel this way, and we're not at tzaddik, we're not on that madrega of the Rebbe Moshe of Sasva, who cares about nothing, only that and even that the people make fun of him, misnag him, say he's sleeping. He couldn't kill us as long as what he's helping some almana, and as long as the Baruch Shalom has nachas from him. We're not bali madrega. These are big madregas. So, what about people like us? It's tzaddikim schusim again agilu, the beginning of kufa and dal. The tzaddikim are revealed. She'inyin akina ein leishum sechol klal o klal. If you think about it, kina, jealousy, is completely irrational. There's no sechol. We know that. There's no seichel in it at all. Kima mazik le'echad masha sheni matzliach. How does it harm me that the other person is matzliach? How does it harm me if somebody else has haslocha? Hello kulani yoidim ba'ifin barusha avinusha b'shamayim yochel ha'shpila kulam. Everybody knows, everybody believes that Kadosh Baruch Hu could give me, he has for me, and he has for him. Baruch Hu has to give out to everybody. So his hatzloch is his hatzloch is on my cheshbon. Or like in Rabbi Nachman's story, which we'll talk more about. So the person who was humble said, that thus is yen is ma'isa, thus is mine ma'isa. In other words, you're asking me why that person, I'm a much better shoemaker than him, I'm a much better tailor than him, so why is it that he has a million customers and I can't make it for nasa? So this Jew said, when he was asked, he said, "This is Yanim's ma'isa. I don't know. That's his ma'isa. He has his ma'isa, and I have my ma'isa. I don't know. It's a good kasha. I make a nicer suit, and I make nicer shoes. So how come he has a panos and I don't have? That's his ma'isa. He has his own ma'isa. I have my ma'isa. It's a different neshami. It's a different cheshbon. He has different gilgulim. He has different tikkunim. That's his ma'isa, and I have my ma'isa. One is not negate to the other one, and we know that." When you think that, you know, I remember, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you're in, let's say you're in yeshiva, and they're bringing out your favorite food, and in yeshiva that's not so common. So they're bringing out something you really like. You're in camp, right? And you make a quick cheshbon. This isn't going to work out. They're like 1,000 screaming kids. There's only a couple of bowls. There are only a couple of bowls of French fries. It's going to be a problem, and it's very hard to outgrow that way of looking at things. There's only a limited amount of French fries in the world, and there are a lot of children that like French fries, and the only way I'm going to be matzliach is if he doesn't get, then I get, because if they all get, then I'm not going to have. As we mature and our emuna matures, we understand that the Baruch Shem has French fries for everybody. And the fact that the other one has a French fry doesn't mean it's on the cheshbon of you having a French fry. Obviously, you know, we always tell that to our children, but when it comes to things that are more sophisticated, we have the same problem that the children have. And it's not, we know it's true, that what that person has is not negay at all to what I have. And if he has more, it's not at all on my husband. We're in the same business, we're in the same office. And he got this commission. It's not on my cheshbon b'chlal. It can't be on my cheshbon that he's making it on my cheshbon. But the Baruch Shalom has a separate tikh, a separate file for each and every Jew in the world. There's a separate file. So it's not on my cheshbon that he has. And I don't have it on his cheshbon. And we know that's true. So how come there is kinna? It's not seichel. It's totally irrational. Like we're learning that the Baruch Shalom has created us in such a way that there is this very, very deep and mysterious need that we have to overcome. It's not an inning of seichel. And therefore he says that when a kinnah starts, and he says Hashem Yishmerenu, which means that once the kinna, once jealousy for that person creeps into you and it begins to bother you, you push it, can't get, you could think how to overcome, you use your seichel and you try to understand and you say it can't be, it's my cheshbon, and yet Hashem Yishmerenu means that without the Baruch Shalom's help you feel like you can't get over the kinna, you can't get past this jealousy. Even though Yisrael tells you this is crazy, you can't go beyond this. Now to understand this properly, let me just pause here for a moment and explain to be mashlim a little bit more through the teachings of one of the great contemporary tzaddikim from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is an ish kodesh, a makubal, a goyin, who I've been zeicher to meet on many occasions. And he wrote svarim, like a damar, nechta b'sefer. His Torah, he's a Breslov chassid, he's the head of the Breslov yeshuv in Yerushalayim. He's respected by all the chugim. They go to him from all the different yeshivas, people come to him for aitzes. He himself is a very big Baal Yisurim who's lived in poverty and other tzaras, terrible, terrible tzaras, and you wouldn't believe when you meet him, you see the simcha shining from him. So in the second chelik of Lekut Amorim, Rabbi Yaakov Meir discusses kinna, and his teaching is based upon a Torah in Siman Lamed Daled in Likutei de Moran from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman taught, you don't have this in front of you, I'm just reading to you a sentence or two. Rabbi Nachman taught in Likutei Moran, Ki yesh v'kol echad miyisrael davar yakash shu b'chinas nekuda, each and every Jew has something within him that's precious. Ma she'ein l'chaver. Every single Jew has something unique in him or in her that no other Jew in the world has. In that inyan, that person is a yachid, is unique. Is a Godel Hador. And by the way, the Chiddush HaRim already said that it's never what you think it is. In other words, if someone were to interview you and ask you, what do you think in yourself, in your life, what do you think gives the Baruch Shalom the biggest Nachas Ruach about you? Well, in other words, what do you think is your special, unique Nekuda? Chiddush HaRim said that whatever person says it is, it's Zich, it's a Simen, that's not what it is. It's for sure not what you think. For sure not. So Rabbi Nachman says, "Ubechina hazoy sheyesh b'yoyis mechaveiro," and in this inyan that you have more than any other Jew, in this nekuda, you are unique. So Rabbi Nachman taught, "Humashpia u'meir u'ma'ir aleiv chaveiro." In this inyan, without even knowing it, you are able to influence, to illuminate, to be mashpia, to be meir. To awaken, to arouse other Jews to be better. And you don't even know that about yourself. You don't even know that about yourself. The chaveru tzarech lekabel l'sayru sebechina hazayis mimen. And all the other Jews have to be prepared to acknowledge that in this inyan, this person has a certain malchus, and to be makabel from that person. In other words, not only not to be jealous of the person, but to receive from that person's malchus. Because each Jew has a certain inyan of malchus. Something that's royal, something that's unique and special. And everybody else has to be prepared to be makabel from that nekuda. Kamesha Kosov, as it says, makablin dein mi dein. It says that the angels are makablin dein mi dein. The angels, each one receives one from the other. So Rabbi Nachman taught that each Jew has to receive from the other Jew, to learn from the other Jew, from his nekuda. As Chazal already taught, that the wisest person is the one who's loymed mikol adam, who learns from everybody. Learning from everybody doesn't just mean with a text. It doesn't just mean by being taught in a sefer, or somebody saying something that's very wise. To me, a loymed mikol adam means that you acknowledge, that you recognize that there's something unique and special about this person, and I could receive something from this person that will help me be a better Jew, a better person, a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better child, b'chulam. But here, there's a tremendous Yetzirah, Rabbi Yaakov Meir explains. There's a tremendous, tremendous Yetzirah that manifests itself on two levels. The first, instead of being the kabel from that individual, receiving and being illuminated by the person, by acknowledging his superiority in that inyan, his malchus, there's a yetzahara to try to imitate the person. In other words, there is this yetzahara to be, not to receive, not to learn, but either in a shallow, superficial way to impersonate, to imitate, or what could be more damaging is you do not have the same koach as that individual in that area. You do not have the same kishreinus. And instead of understanding your limitations, you will make yourself bitter and broken in this effort not to receive, not to learn, not to be somehow uplifted, but to imitate and to impersonate. To become that person, instead of learning from the person. That's one type of Yetzirah. The other Yetzirah is, instead of impersonating, imitating, or instead of receiving, you see that other person, you recognize that Maila, you can't bear that he has that Maila, that Madrega, and you don't, whether it's spiritual or physical things. And here, there's no effort to imitate and impersonate. There's no effort to learn or to gain. Here, one reacts by being mezalzel that person, by putting down that person, by insulting or by speaking about that person in a negative way. And Tibim Mevatel says, that's not a Madrega, he's not about Madregas, to point out all of his chesroinus, and he's not this, he's not that. And even what you think he's so good at, the Bamis is not so good. These are both reactions, of course, that are terribly destructive. Terribly destructive. Both of them are the result of kinna. One manifests itself in what would appear to be a positive way, but it's not truly, because it's not internalized, it's not real. It's a shallow, silly impersonation that never, ever really has been internalized or integrated into who you are, is just a way of trying to be like that person so that you should have the covet or whatever it might be that you believe that person receives, but never really to make yourself a better person. And the second thing, of course, is that if you're mezalzel, that the jealousy, the envy causes you to speak lashon hara or to look down upon another person. Therefore, one has to be careful from unrealistic she'ifas, from an unrealistic longing or expectation to take away somebody else's malchus, or to wear somebody else's crown that doesn't belong to you. Instead of you learning and being inspired and aspiring to some madrega in that area, instead of being on this in this avoid of mekablin dein mi dein, of receiving one from the other, instead one tries to have what the other has, or to take what the other has, or to be the other person. What the tzaddik here is talking about, how irrational kina is, how absolutely irrational it is, and that the Baruch Shalom has for you and has for me, the Baruch Shalom has for all of us. Rabbi Yaakov Meir explains that this nekuda of Malchus, this unique point, this unique Milo Madrega that other person has, that in all likelihood is something that is connected to the sherish, to the very root of that person's neshama, to earlier Gilgulim of where he comes from, of who he was in an earlier life. Like we see, and he brings here examples, that there were families of Seifrim, of scribes, for generations and generations, extraordinary scribes, like the family of Rabbi Chaim Vital, and other tzaddikim, that they were famous, or Moyolim, or other people, that they had certain kaychas in that mishpacha that were not just handed down from generation, were not just taught, but were somehow carried from one neshama to the other, that these neshamas were obviously connected in a very deep way. But the Svar Makadoshim tell us that nekuda, that point of excellence, that point of that is unique in the other person, that comes from his sheirish, is so uniquely his, that the same way the Torah says, L'sasik v'l re'acha, that I'm not allowed to trespass, I'm not allowed to go into somebody else's property, I have to realize that other person has a certain mailer, a certain nekuda, that I will never reach. I will never reach the madrega of that person. And if anything, when looking at that person's madrego, or that milo, that chain that person has, I should really, really be filled with tremendous joy. And if I'd be a balavayda, I would have an ayin toiva, that person is able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to give him some nachas ruach in a way that is unique, in a way that's different, that's connected to the shoresh of his neshama. And thus is Yanim's maisa. And that's his parasha. That's his parasha. He has his parasha, and that's how he gives nachas ruach. I can learn from that, and I could try to use some of that in my avodas Hashem. But to feel jealous of that person who's a gevaldige davener, and for me davening comes hard, or to be jealous of that person who's like Susie Homemaker, and for me it's a mamash malach, it's a yegias hanefesh v'halei, to be able to put things together, it's much harder for me. If I would try to receive and it would be mekam deng mi dein, then adarabba, I would gain a great deal from this person. I would learn a great deal. But instead, Rabbi Yaakov Meir says that instead of gaining and instead of learning, I eat my heart out feeling unbelievably jealous, unbelievable amount of kinna. And he goes on to explain more. And this goes back to what I was saying before about the bowl of french fries and an immature way of looking at the Baruch Shalom as if there's only a certain amount of french fries in the world, and if I don't, and if he has the french fries, they're on my cheshbon. So Yaakov Meir points out a beautiful thing. He says that we know that scientists in modern times, it's really not that recent, but they have realized that every single snowflake is different. Every single snowflake is different, is unique. And that the Baruch Shalom made the world in such a way. And there are millions and billions of snowflakes and cells and in the whole Netzias. And each one is a Yetzira b'fnei Atzma. And each snowflake is a unique Yetzira, something that has the stamp of the Baruch Shalom, is something different, is something unique. And Rabbi Nachman says in the Sichas Aran, Hashem is Baruch, and Ha'oyseh Shnei Pa'amim Dover Echad, that the Baruch Shalom never duplicates. I can't hear you. Yeah. You were learning it too? Baruch Hashem. That the Baruch Shalom, that's Rabbi Yaakov Meir brings in the Sichas Aran, that Hashem is Baruch, and Ha'oyseh Shnei Pa'amim Dover Echad, that the Baruch Shalom never does something stam to repeat. He never duplicates. So if that's the truth of Metzius of this physical world. Then Rabbi Yaakov Meir explains, Allah has come of a kama, infinitely, infinitely more so. All the shinluim, all the differences, even in the physical appearances, certainly how much more so in the emotional, spiritual fiber of each and every individual. That there's no dimion, there's no comparison, there's so many differences, each one is mamish unique. And how much more so, he explains, as we were talking about it a minute ago, how much more so when it comes to when we understand, when we believe in Gilgulim, that what? That there are tikkunim that have to do with changes that go back for thousands and thousands of years, differences between the sherish of this person's neshama and the sherish of my neshama. So after, when one thinks about this, when one meditates upon this deeply, one comes to the conclusion that kinna is something which is mamish keneged haseichel, is something which is completely, completely irrational. That every single one was created differently, and everybody has his inyan and his chelik and his unique matzav and all of the circumstances of his life, the family background and the children and the husband, the wife, the education, the neighborhood, all of those protim and protim are uniquely connected to who you are and your particular special shlichus in this world that only you could accomplish in the nachas that you have to give the Baruch Shalom. So what place is that there should be any kinna? So let's continue in the text. Look inside, find out. Ruba de ruba shel hakinna b'amidim yayin shel shav mamish. And then besides all of this, the vast majority of kinna istam, he says, dim yayin shel shav, narishkeit. But what kind of narishkeit? A bigger narishkeit. What we're talking about now, these are edler things, these are deep things, tikkunim and gilgulim, these are big things. But the Tzvi Meir explains over here that most often, ruba de ruba, it's not that fancy at all. It's tam dimyanis. What's that? Kinnin meloish ha-sheni matzliyach yisim. Most of the time, it's a dimyan. You think the other person is more matzliyach. Hein baruch nisei megashmiyas. You think for that person that the davening comes easily. Or that person is so good at that. Whether it's in Ruchnis and Gashmis. The emes, he says, the emes is, as hebzich nisht on bichlal. The kol nisham nisham is a shverkeit in shaloi. Everybody has his own difficulties in life. And the fact that you think for that person everything is wonderful and everything goes easy, and she always looks put together and she always looks happy and everything is always great, everybody has their shverkeit. Everybody has their pekulach, has their difficulties. And if it seems to you, if you're absolutely certain that person's Schwerkeit, that his difficulties or difficulties are smaller than yours, most of the time that's not true. But even if it might be true, and in certain cases you could prove that it's true, that person's Schwerkeit, that person's difficulties are less than mine. But you don't know what emotional kalim you have and what emotional kalim that she has. And the kalim that you were given are bigger kalim. And therefore, you could have a person who has much smaller difficulties in life, but has smaller kalim and more fragile kalim to deal with those difficulties, and you're a person that has more kalim to deal with greater things, with greater and more difficult things. Somebody came to the Tzemach Tzedek from Lubavitch. Somebody came to the Rebbe and he was complaining that it's so hard for him to learn. A chassid came and says, Rebbe, it's so hard for me to learn. I don't have a cheshek to learn. Tzemach Tzedek said to him, what could I do? I love learning. I'm so jealous of you. By me learning, the Tzemach says, learning comes so easily. I'm almost jealous of you. That's your avoid. By me, he says, learning is not an avoid. I love learning. Every minute I want to learn. That's all I want to do. So the Tzemach says, what should I do? By me, learning comes very easily. My learning comes easily. And for you, it's an avoid. How do you tell that to the boy in yeshiva who's having difficulties? And he looks at the other one who's matzliach. This kid stays up all night, and he has extra help, and tutors, and this girl has a chesmas and math, and all these different inyanim. That it's, you know, we're coming to that tkufa of back to school, and all the yisurim nebuch that the children have to go through. Most of the time, it's snarishkeit. I better not say more than I should. But all these yisurim, and the child always looks at the other one that gets a 98 every math test. And this child is bekoshi with the tutors and all the help, his 50s and 60s, gefährlich. and the child is working hard. A child that doesn't work, that's chesaron. The child has, everybody has to put in an effort. But you have a child that's working hard, there's a guy that doesn't go. The child doesn't go so well. And sees the other one with such hatzlacha, and the child becomes totally tzibrachim. And the child's demyayin is that the other one has such hatzlach, and I'm such a lo yutzlach. And even if maybe it wasn't true, but the teacher already made it clear that it is true, I'm a lo yutzlach, and every failing grade in my papers is a siman that I'm not a matzlich, and that person is 98 is a siman that she's a matzlich, and I'm not a matzlich, he's a matzlich, I'm not a matzlich. And everybody has their shreikaiten. Do you know what that child comes home to? Does anybody know? Each one has their own inyan. This child could have hatzlachin, can have hatzlacha when it comes to math, and when it comes to more important things in life. The child doesn't have hatzlacha, God forbid. That child might have a 98 on every test, except he can't get a kind word from a father or from a mother. Who knows what everybody has in this world? And what's more important, the 98 on a test, or to have a parent that kisses you goodnight? So who knows who knows the Schwerkeiten, the Pekla of Eves? The Torah Kedoshah, the Tefillah, when it comes to learning, it's not a few minutes, when it comes to learning, when it comes to davening, when it comes to Harim, Midas, all things in this world. Do you understand what difficulties that person has? The Gashim is Ruba the Ruba. Me'advorim sha'ayivim eitz l'sheini and yiduim l'acheim. Ruba the Ruba, most of the things that another person goes through, you'll never know. And you'll say, oh, but I'm her best friend. I know that she has a much better life than I do. I know that she has a much better matzav, a much nicer husband, and better kids, and better this and better that. I know because that's my best friend. You don't know your best friend. You don't bechlal know your best friend. You think that you know your best friend. She thinks that she knows you. Dinyaynis. You know, maybe you know a little bit better than a stranger. Stam dinyaynis. These are all dimyaynis. Ulekol echad yeshat kufa shalai. And everybody goes through their difficult kufas. They have good kufas and difficult kufas, good times and bad times. Look, everybody. So let's take an example from the non-Jewish world. Hashem should keep us away from these things. So the non-Jewish world, you know, they look like when you have these people, these entertainers, you have the movie stars, or you have the singers. All the people that have their footprint in Hollywood or something like that. And in the Welt, in the secular world, there's such a kinna. Everybody is dreaming. Every little teenage girl is dreaming of being that girl, that singer. And every single guy is dreaming of being this athlete, of being this actor. You know, she gets all the guys, he gets all the girls, and everybody's happy. And people go on thinking that, even though we all know, everybody knows, even the kids know, that it's all dimyonis, that these are the most bitter, miserable, sick, suicidal people on earth. And the kids know that also. Nowadays, the kids know that. When we were children, we thought that we really were happy. Because we used to think of that, because in those days, that's how it was presented in the press and the media, and this before they started writing autobiographies, or, you know, before Mother Dearest. So, what was it? Mommy Dearest, okay. I didn't know it that well. Baruch Hashem. I never read the book, but I read reviews of it and I heard about it. So they were dimyaynis. She was a gewaldige mother, and they find out later on, like, she used to lock her kids in the closet and beat them up. But in those days, she was portrayed, even by the media and the press, they were portrayed as being ideal people, as being like choshev people. That's what he always gespielt. There isn't a kid nowadays beyond the age of like 7. Everyone knows that these are what? These are chayis behemoths. These are abuse, for the most part. I mean, there are one or two exceptions, but for the most part, abusive, tzibrochene people. So we used to listen when we were kids. I mean, those of you who are also not so religious, maybe. So when we were kids, we listened to these songs and we think, listen how this person is in love. Listen to this love song. And then when you're older, you find out, like, oh, Vosra Hamaisa is a gevein. What a love story that was. You know, and the guy's wife, like, you know, has marks all over her body to prove what a gewaldige love story it was. And how that marriage was sin, it was sin, and with abuse and misery. And that was the same year that he wrote that song that was number one on the charts in 1969. And everybody's thinking, if I could only find someone that I could love like that person, and if I could be loved like that person, and every single teenager would go, oh, and they would hear this song, oh, if I could be like that, then it would talk be good. We believed in those demyanis. The children now know it's all demyanis. And afal pichain, they want to be like those people. Is there anything that's crazier? There's nothing in the world that's as sick. Demyanis. It's all demyanis shav mamish. Havel havolim. Havel havolim. Havel havolim. That's why the B'dishiva said, why do we read Kehelis on Sukkot, right? It's a funny, everybody always asks that, why do you read Kehelis? It's a pretty depressing sefer, no? So you read Kehelis on Sukkot, Sukkot is Masim Chaseinu. So the B'dishiva said, after Rosh Hashanah Kippur, a Jew is able to know not to take the world so seriously. What takes away our simcha is that all the demyonis that we have, this is matzlich, this one's more matzlich, this one's happy, this is gevaldig, if only I could be. After Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, after Hashanah Rabbah, a Jew comes, when he comes to Simchas Torah, and you can be just the simcha with the Torah, because then you know that it's all demyonis, and Shlomo Malach says, havel havolim hakel havel. That's a lekim yirev, it's mitzvah to the Shema Kizah, kol adam chanarishkeit. During Tevis, during Nisan, during Sivan, you're not sure that it's Nairishkeit. Because you have your demyonis are so strong. But by the time it's finished, by the time you go through Yom Kippur, you're able to leave your house, you're able to go to a sukkah, you're able to say, it's takol demyonis. The whole union of owning a house is a demyon. Except now they make sukkahs that are also for the demyonis. The sukkahs also have to fit into demyonis. The sukkahs are all demyanis also. You look now, they advertise newspaper sukkahs. Because you should feel that that you didn't even leave your house. It's a gevaldige sukkah. Maybe you didn't leave your house. Maybe you're not even sure if you left your house. The house is not a house, and the sukkah is not a sukkah. The sukkah is a house. The house is something from some sort of somebody's imagination. No, we live with all these demyanis. But sukkahs, the way it's supposed to be, a Jew is able to look at the world and say, it's havel havolim. And you know what? That davka is Masim Chaseinu. Because when you're freed from those demyonis of Nairishkeit, you're the biggest Baal Simcha. When you're not jealous of Yemen, when you have no sin and no kin and no taiv and no covid, it's the most gewaldige Simcha. When you're freed from all of that, because all the people in People magazine that are living in billion-dollar mansions, and this one, and they're walking around with the most beautiful woman, the most handsome guy, they're living with kinder. So while this person is walking with his girlfriend, that every single boy in the world is chalishing for that girl, the one who's walking with the girl down sun, you know, in Hollywood, is looking at Yanim's girlfriend. That he did better than me. He's more matzliach than me. And the kinder, which they bechlal don't have the kelim to work against. We have Hashem Yid, and we have kelim, we have Torah, we have Tikkun Amidus, we have Avodah, we have Yontif. But these people never say, I don't have any kelim at all, so what is it? It's all eating away at their kishkas. There's no simcha sechayim. It's already late. But what he's saying here is that mostly it's demyonis shav, it's demyonis shekh, it's narishkeit. To think that the other person has more and is doing better is more matzlich, it's narishkeit. Just two or three more sentences. It looks to you like he has more tzlocha. It looks to you, Taki. It looks to you like he has more tzlocha. But anybody that tries to come a little bit close to the truth, to understand the truth, and to live a true life, begins to realize, he says, by those who are closest to you, you don't have a hasoga of what they're going through. You don't know who they are. You don't know what they have, what they don't have, what they've suffered from, what they've gone through in their lives, what they're going through this moment when it seems to you that they should be the object of your jealousy. You have no shot. You have chlal. But if someone comes close to the emes, he knows that this is true, that these are all demyonis. And
The male, it's not shaykh any kin at all. It's not shaykh that there should be any kin. It doesn't make any sense. In Memchas, look in the Hebrew down there. Sheyesh lo dem dimyon shel hasheni einis abayos sheyesh li. You have a dimyon. He doesn't have my problems. V'sakoshim sheyesh li, my difficulties. V'shahilich la hakol toiv. And for him, everything goes gleich, everything is simple, everything is great. And when I look at him, I see that everything is going great. And by me, everything is hard, and everything comes in a difficult way. And shverkeit, and difficulties, and tzaras. These are all dimyonis narishkeit. Even with the ones who were closest to, we bechlal don't know. Everybody is a roz, everybody is a secret. Every Jew is mamish, a closed book. And bechlal don't know. And when Mashiach comes, he's going to give each and every one of us a Megillah. There's Megillah Srus, Megillah Sestan, there's Megillah for each and every Jew in this world, that only the Baruch Shalom knew what he went through to be a Jew, and what he had to go through, what she had to go through in his or her life. Nobody else knows what's in that Megillah. Only the person himself and the one who made it. Even the person himself doesn't know. Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue from here.